This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Sean, you are very low with your levels. If you could find a way to jack yourself up. There we go.
All right.
That sounded like a productive knob movement.
You know, it's that, I get there little by little. I'm used to being told I'm too loud, so I'm, self-conscious.
Well, Sean, I've been there. Like, in this business, only, I think, one time in my career have I been said, your levels are too low. It's usually, Tim, you got to come down, man. You are way, way overdriven. Bring it down. So we got to get right in that healthy, healthy medium. And, Sean, we're finally here. And what is the last week of the spring sports season? We're going to get a beautiful week of weather. Should be a good drying week with the sunshine and the wind. So hopefully here we can this week coming up will be a sign of things to come moving in to postseason play, because as we've talked about ad nauseum, it's been a brutal week or a brutal season with the weather, but it looks like we're going to catch a break here in the last week, and hopefully it holds out through that regional week of postseason play.
Yeah, it's a shame they had they started off with the IHSA lockout. Oh, I'm sorry, I get confused. I look at the number of games that didn't happen and assumed there was some kind of work stoppage.
Right.
It's just crazy. You try to get in some kind of postseason form, and I have to imagine it's difficult. But I guess everybody goes through the, well, you know what? You say everybody goes through the same thing, but you know how it is. Some of this weather's localized, and I imagine there are a few teams that have had tougher breaks than others.
No doubt about it. And we're going to get into the postseason matchups and assignments here as Sports Saturday moves along. Coming up guest-wise, we're going to have Joe Allstott joining us about 9:20 this morning, the Greenville Athletic Director. A week ago, the Comets were playing at Busch Stadium, so that was a fantastic experience. We'll talk to Joe about that and, of course, everything Greenville Athletics moving in to postseason play here. Going to catch up with Dan Newkirk, the Litchfield Boys track and field coach. Of course, earlier this week, they had the South Central Conference meet, the Carletonville Boys, your conference champions, and then the Litchfield Girls claimed the conference championship for the South Central earlier this week. Then last night, they had the Macoupin County track meet. North Mac took home the county titles in both the boys and the girls. And, Sean, as we talk about winding down here in this spring season, that means that North Mac's time in the Sangamo Conference is coming to a close, and when we get to the fall season coming up, they will be in the South Central Conference, and what a different look and feel that is going to provide to the SEC.
Yeah, that will be different, and it's almost like a coming home again. How long have they been in the Sangamo now? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, boy, yeah, they were. It's been, I don't know if it's been 6 years, 7 years. I lose track of time. It's been a while, and they've had good success in that league.
Yeah, it's a great conference. On one side, it's sad to say so long, but boy, just to plug them back into those rivalries, it's a win-win. Tough to say goodbye. You're leaving one good conference situation for another.
But yeah, North Mac coming to the South Central in the fall season. Of course, we got a lot to do before we get to that point. North Mac will be hosting a baseball regional this year with that beautiful turf facility. Gillespie will also be hosting a baseball regional this year, and they'll have a quarterfinal game there. That'll be Litchfield and Carletonville squaring off in the quarterfinals of that Gillespie baseball regional. Those get underway on May the 16th. So a week from Monday, Sean, is when this baseball and softball regional play will get underway. So you have a Litchfield-Carletonville quarterfinal. The winner of that game will then advance on to play Gillespie in the semifinals. And it's worked out for the most part in terms of the way the regionals broke down. You see Litchfield, Carletonville, Gillespie, and Southwestern all in that Gillespie baseball regional. And Gillespie's the 2 seed. Southwestern's the 5 seed. But, Sean, right now, Southwestern on track to be the South Central Conference champions. They're the only undefeated team in league play entering the final week.
Well, they just get it done, huh? I mean, not always flashy, but they just play a winning brand. And, consistency pays off over the long haul.
Fundamentals. We know when we had Brian Hanslow on a few weeks ago, he talked about how maybe offensively not where they think they'll be in a couple of years, but pitching and defense has been the hallmark of that program under Brian Hanslow, and it has proved once again to be very successful this year. So a lot of South Central teams in that Gillespie baseball regional. One of the South Central teams not in that regional is Hillsboro. They get the head down, I guess, Sean, maybe to your sort of old stomping grounds. They'll be in Breeze. They'll be taking on Breeze Modern Day in their quarterfinal game as part of the Breeze Central Regional. And if the Toppers beat Breeze Modern Day, they get to advance to play Breeze Central.
Oh, that's not a – that's always different. You know, it's like, it's sometimes I know the road trip can be, you know, kind of a nice team camaraderie building event, but – you feed on rivalry, so it's different. And usually the way the math works, one team kind of misses out on being a part of that local postseason start off.
Yeah. Staunton kind of got bumped out of that as well. They'll be part of the Alton-Marquette Regional. They'll be on the road at Roxana for their quarterfinal game, and then the winner of that will get Columbia in that regional semifinal, part of the Alton-Marquette Regional. We're going to have Joe Allstott, the Greenville AD, coming up here in a few minutes on Sports Saturday. The Greenville Comets, they will be hosting a quarterfinal game against Vandalia. And, Sean, this is one of those oddities. We've seen it in baseball and softball for a long time. We had it in basketball for the first time this year, where the quarterfinal games are not played at the host site, but rather the site of the better-seeded school. So Vandalia hosting the regional, but they're the 8th seed, and Greenville's the 6th seed. So Vandalia will be on the road in the Vandalia Regional. Figure that out.
That's fascinating. That's interesting. Yeah, we went on the road to win our sectional or our regional. It's, I mean, that's the makings of a great story. Yeah, the more sports change, the more they change. You know, I think the old stay the same thing just doesn't fit anymore.
It doesn't seem to. Hey, coming up on Monday, we're going to have high school baseball on the radio. It'll be Lincolnwood at North Mac. We'll have live coverage Monday about 4:20 on FM 106.1. We'll stream it at WQSMIRadio.com. And, you know, Sean, some of the fields might be a little too wet still by Monday just because we had so much rain, but we know the turf facility at North Mac will be ready to go on Monday, and it'll be ready to go the following week as well, as they'll be hosting a baseball regional, and Shelbyville's the top seed in that regional there. North Mac got the 3, so the North Mac Panthers, they will await the winner of Auburn and Sullivan. So it'll be either Auburn or Sullivan in the regional semifinals for North Mac. Now, in terms of 1A regional baseball, Lincolnwood is hosting a regional. What a beautiful facility to host a regional tournament. And they've got lights, Sean, so that means they will play both semifinals on Wednesday. Lincolnwood will be under the lights. They will go at 6:30, taking on North Green. That'll be a May the 18th game.
I'll tell you what, the way the weather's turning, too, that's a nice thing, because it's kind of a shock to the system. I imagine young people are more resilient than the rest of us, but when you go from cold and damp and then all of a sudden, you know, we're shooting to the edge of 90, that's an adjustment.
And that 90 is going to feel like 100, I have a feeling, this week.
I can only imagine.
Bring it on. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. Nokomis, they get to travel now. They'll be off to Calhoun for their baseball regional. They are the 3 seed there, so they have a bye into the semifinals. They'll play on Thursday, May the 19th. They'll be taking on Carrollton. And that's a beautiful part of the state over that way, and you got to get yourself – go hungry when you go to Calhoun. Go hungry.
Oh, the rolling hills of Calhoun County, and, you know, if you're a Harden fan – you're always grateful when you can play a home game this time of year. You never know what the moody Mississippi will do.
So that is kind of a quick rundown of what the baseball postseason is going to look like. Now, in terms of the softball, you know, we were talking about Vandalia playing on the road in a regional they're hosting. Gillespie, they're going to try to win a regional to get to a sectional that they will be hosting. So that always adds a little different element, doesn't it, Sean, when you know that, hey, and they're the top seed at the Salem Regional. If we win this regional, we got the sectional on our diamond.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, that's a special spot for home cooking. And, you know, they're just those moments you want to take it in on the home turf. You know, and you get to that point in the postseason, I think – home turf really starts to mean something in a bigger way.
Well, you know, especially in baseball and softball, it's not, to me, it's not so much where the game's at. You get the last at bat. You know, you want a bat in the bottom of the inning.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, it's no doubt about it. I mean, the
I've seen Gillespie, Sean. They had a sectional on their diamond. They were the one seed. They were playing another one seed. They had to flip in the sectional championship to determine who was the home team. Gillespie lost the coin toss and then got walked off on their own diamond.
Oh. Yeah, it just really helps you make some pitching decisions and some other things. And, boy, yeah, I mean, that, you know, when you talk about moving the chess pieces toward the end of a baseball game, yeah, that's a big payoff.
So Gillespie will be at the Salem Regional, obviously is the one seed to buy into the semifinals. They'll play either Flora or Lawrenceville. That'll be a May the 17th game. We'll have it live on WSMI FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And then the other semifinal in that regional is host Salem taking on Robinson. So that is the path for Gillespie to get out of that regional and get to the sectional on their home diamond. Now at the Vandalia Regional, you will have Litchfield on the road at Greenville for the quarterfinal. The winner of that game will take on third-seeded Staunton in the semifinals. And, you know, Sean, you look at the Staunton Lady Bulldogs, they've got a wonderful offense, a very good defense, very dangerous club. And, you know, you got to look at draws. They have to appreciate the draw they've gotten here in terms of a really good opportunity, I would say, to play for a championship.
I'll tell you what, it really is. You see it with college basketball, and people start looking through bracketology and thinking about the road there. And I have to think now, it pops up on the internet, and you get it and you salivate a little bit. I mean, you're not looking ahead past one opponent, but it just all of a sudden, okay, we win one or two or three, get some momentum, and hey, this team can go places.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Greenville Athletic Director Joe Alstadt when Sports Saturday rolls on.
921 right here on FM 106. Sports Saturday sponsors, thanks to these guys. Without them, then we wouldn't have the Sports Saturday for you every week right here on FM 106. They include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Kurtz 24-Hour Towing in Litchfield, call 324-2400. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare, and Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Once again, with WSMI Sports Saturday, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. We'll have Cardinal baseball for you tonight. Game 3 of 4 in San Francisco. Redbirds have taken the first 2-5-20 with the pregame coverage tonight on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Well, Sean, last week, a week ago today, the Greenville Comets, they were getting pumped up about right now as they were getting set to play at Busch Stadium. As that has kind of become a normal thing down there at Busch Stadium. High school teams get to play there, you know, on a Saturday usually after a Cardinals day game. And thankfully, the weather worked out and the Comets were able to play. They beat Clinton 7-4. But Sean, you talk about, and we're going to get Joe Alstadt on the phone here in just a moment, but you talk about just an unbelievable experience as a high school kid getting to play at Busch Stadium. My goodness.
And this is not a discussion as far as which is the better ballpark. And I don't call old Busch Stadium Busch 2. I refuse to call Sportsman's Park Busch 1. So
right.
I'll just say Old Busch and New Busch. That's my frame of reference. Old Busch, awesome ballpark. But to me, I think in terms of an event like this, high schoolers playing at a ballpark, you're in a sealed oval, and, you know, the crowd's not going to be very big. I think even if you don't have a lot of people in Busch 3, I played, now I'd committed a sin there against myself. When I played at New Busch, I played a game of softball. Of course nobody's there. Nobody's watching the travesty of us tainting and desecrating the field. But it was neat. Nobody there, but, you know, you still see people walking out there on Clark Street. So even if you don't have a monster crowd, number one, you're in the big ballpark. And two, they're still like curiosity seekers. You got the knot hole gang out in center field, people passing by like, oh, they're playing baseball out there. You know, it's just kind of an interesting phenomenon. I think it fits better in the new park than the old.
And the Comets have been doing it for a number of years, and their athletic director, Joe Alstadt, joins us on the phone right now. And, Joe, I'm sure today's going to be a wonderful day, but there's no way it can be as much fun as you had last Saturday.
Well, it's beautiful weather out, Tim. It's actually our high school prom today, so no Comet sports events today, which is kind of criminal, but it's, with the weather we have right now. But yeah, last Saturday was a lot of fun at Busch Stadium, and it always is, and it's really cool to watch our kids in that venue.
And Joe, talk to me about the process to do this, because you know you just basically have to sell a certain number of tickets and that. But just talk to me about how you go about getting your high school baseball team to play at Busch Stadium.
Sure. So I think this was our 12th year of playing there, 12th consecutive year playing there. And pre-COVID, we had to sell 900 tickets. 900. That's a lot of tickets.
It is.
You know, the first year we sold like 1,700 tickets. Like, we couldn't keep them in stock. They were going so hot. It was Cardinal-Cubs game, Comets against Edwardsville, and we just couldn't. We had to keep reorder. Well, that obviously trickles down. The newness wears off, and it becomes a little bit more of a struggle to sell them. We've always just been able to get the job done, though. But post-COVID, it's been 500 tickets, which is a lot more manageable, especially for a school our size. So, you know, we sold all 500 tickets, I wouldn't say with ease, but, yeah, without a whole lot of struggle. But you have to sell tickets to go to the Cardinal game, and the Cardinals give you the option to play on the day the Cardinals play or a day when they are out of town, and you can sell tickets for a separate day. So, but once you get there, you're on the Cardinals' time. I mean, they tell you when you can get dressed. They tell you if your game's rained out or not. They tell you when to go to the dugout. They tell you how long you can play catch. They tell you how long your game is. I mean, you're on the clock, so to speak. So, but it is a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Well, I know it's different not only being in a major league ballpark, but I have to think one of the biggest differences is playing on that major league infield. That's a whole different material.
Oh, it is. The grass is unbelievable. How short it is, and just how well manicured the whole stadium is. You know, they get the field ready after the Cardinal game. They'll get the field ready with their grounds crew. You know, they'll have 20 people out there sweeping and blowing and dragging and watering, and they get the field ready for your high school game just like they would a Cardinal game. And so that's kind of neat that they take such good care of you. You know, when our high school game starts, John Hewlett is there. He announces all the kids. He announces the entire game, the Cardinal PA announcer that's been there since I can remember in the early 1980s. Same PA announcer does the whole thing. They show the game up on the video board. All the replays, you know, kids make great plays. They show the replay on the video board, or big hits. They show them all. So, what's cool about that is what we've learned through the years is Coach Hutch will just set up our camcorder, our video camera, on a tripod right on the video board itself for the next 2.5 hours, and he just records the whole game off the video board. So, it's pretty neat to be able to have that in our archives for things to look back on.
And Joe, you might not want to brag on your son, but I'll do it for you. He made one of those nice plays, and he got himself up on that video board. And I would imagine just the proud papa in you in that moment, grinning ear to ear.
Well, I've probably watched that highlight about, 150 times on my phone. Yeah, it was really neat. My son plays second base sometimes for our varsity team, and he did. He made a really nice play to his right coming in, and I told my wife before the game, I said, if any of our kids does something really good, be ready to video that video board because they'll show it. And she was on top of it, and she got the video. And, yeah, I've watched it a few times since then. But, yeah, it's a very proud moment. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty exciting experience. And, yeah, it's unique to baseball because you don't exactly well, there's no NBA team in St. Louis for basketball. To have any kind of pregame, and we don't have football anymore. So this is a unique. It's something just maybe something happens with, you know, soccer and other programs, but you really can't do that in any other sport, go to the major league / pro park and play.
You know, that is a great point because I've always tried to think of things that our other programs could do, something similar to that. And our soccer teams have played at GCS Stadium in Soja where the Grizzlies play. They put lines out there for soccer, and we've done that a few times, and that's been really neat. But you're right. You can't bring your football team to the Dome, or we don't have a hockey team to take to St. Louis or things like that. So it's pretty unique to baseball, and we're glad the Cardinals let amateur games be played there. I'm guessing that not every major league team does that, but But I'm glad St. Louis does.
Joe, I'm just curious because, you know, whether it's a regular season game or, you know, just throughout the course of your high school sporting career, you always talk about, it's not so much years later the games you'll remember. It's the little things, the experiences, the practices, the bus rides. This whole experience falls right into that category. And I'm just curious, what was – did you get to use the locker rooms? How does that work? Obviously, you're in the dugout. Were you guys in the Cardinal dugout, visitors dugout? Where were you at?
This year we were in the visitors. We've been in both of them, and they let you use the visitor bullpen. Both teams can use the visitor bullpen. Again, pre-COVID, we would meet in the seventh inning, and they'd take us downstairs to get dressed in a maintenance closet, and then we'd just wait in the hallway for the game to get over. Well, in the hallway, we've seen Chris Carpenter walking through the years, or just some bullpen pitchers or things like that. So, you know, we've had pretty decent access down there. But now post-COVID, they don't have you down there anymore. You get dressed in a restroom and out in center field where all the fans are going to the bathroom. It's just kind of a little bit different. But we've had some really good access down there. And like you said, you're in the dugout, you're in the bullpen, you're obviously on the game field. So
awesome.
It's been really neat.
Sounds like Superman having to change in a phone booth. But, you know, I have to think the great thing about doing it year to year, yeah, the kids still get excited. But, you know, not being a one-shot deal, maybe kids are still trying to play a regular baseball game and not hit six-run homers, what have you.
Yeah, that's true. And we'd be able to see, you know, like for 12 years, we've seen a whole, you know, generation of Comets come through and be able to play there. And, you know, when you see guys later after they graduate, that's one thing they always talk about. It's like the stadium. That's something they will never forget. Like you said, they'll forget your conference game, your non-conference game, something like that. But they're never going to forget playing at Busch Stadium. They won't remember the score. I couldn't tell you our record at Busch Stadium. We've won some. We've lost some. Right. But you remember just running out of that field and having your name called by the announcer and seeing yourself on the video board and things like that. Those are things you don't forget.
And, of course, sometimes it doesn't work out. It's scheduled if it rains, obviously. But am I wrong about this? Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was a different club. But one time, I think the Cardinals played like a 20-inning game maybe on Saturday, and they had to scrap it.
That was O'Fallon, I believe. And they had a really long game, maybe with a rain delay too. I don't remember. But I think what ended up happening there, Tim, was they got permission from their superintendent, and they ended up playing at like midnight that night.
Wow.
Just to get it in and not have to go back. So. We've talked about that, and we've had our game canceled there before, and you go back later at a later date, and they still honor their time and get to play. But it is a long day because you get there 2 hours before the Cardinal game to store your equipment, and then you have watch the Cardinal game, and then you have your game for 2.5 hours. And it is a long day, but you do it once a year, and it's worth it for sure. But we've had a range of opponents there too. We've played the big schools like Edwardsville or Highland, and we've played out of state schools that we would never see. We've seen team from Iowa, team from Kentucky, John Burroughs from St. Louis, and this year we played Clinton up by the Decatur area. We've never heard of them. We haven't seen them before. So you get the opportunity to see some different schools as well and play some different competition.
Of course, Joe, you have a nice relationship with the Cardinals through the I-70 Coaches mm-hmm. Clinic, and I guess while that's on the front of my mind, how's that going for the clinic? I know that's a year-round process for you.
It is. We have secured a speaker for this January, LSU's head coach, Jay Johnson, head coach of the LSU Tigers. So that's a huge get. That's very he's a big-time coach in the SEC, so we're happy to bring him in. And I've got several feelers out to some other big-name speakers as well, hoping to land another one or two of those and go from there. But, yeah, you're right. You can't just start working on that in November because you're way behind things. You got to stay on top of things for that, for sure.
Well, you know, as the Greenville Athletic Director, Joe, this is a very busy time for you. You mentioned no sports today because of prom, but you guys will be hosting a regional quarterfinal baseball game coming up. You're going to be hosting the girls' soccer regional coming up next week. So just kind of talk to us about the busy week that it is for you as an athletic director here.
Yeah, it's going to be a really busy 10 days for us. Like you said, to host the soccer regional. We have senior night baseball, senior night softball this week. We have the regional baseball quarterfinal, regional softball quarterfinal coming up the following Monday. And with all the rescheduled games from all sports, I looked at our weekly calendar for this week, and it is packed just about every day. It just has four or five different sports going on each day. So, you know, you've got sectional track. We're not hosting that, but that's starting this week. And just a lot of things to be prepared for, and it looks like we're going to have some good weather to play in it. So,
I guess the heavy equipment has moved in, and the process, well, the goodbye natural turf, hello artificial, has begun.
It has begun. They've, they got rained out Thursday and Friday, but you can see the mountain dirt on our football field right now after been scraping about 25 yards off. It's enormous and pretty massive. So it's going to be interesting to watch them through the process of constructing this and try to snap some pictures and put them on social media as we can and just watch the progress of that happening for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we talked about at the start of the show, North Mac coming in to the league next year. So there's going to be three turf fields in the South Central Conference. Wow.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
and, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, but I think turf fields are going to be like all-weather tracks 20 years ago where, you know, not everybody had them, but now everybody has one, and they're just a standard. It's just normal. So, and I could see that happening on baseball, softball side as well, just with all the rainouts and rain-out practices and things like that. Those are the sports that are most affected by the weather. I could see that going that way as well.
Yeah, Chris Atala, some are saying, yeah, it's pretty nice.
I bet. Hey, Tim, if you don't mind, I just want to point out on that Busch Stadium game, that is a difficult game to coach in. Coach Hutch has done it 12 years, and it's just a tough game because you got a fine line, and it's a game that, you count it on your record. It's one of your 35. You want to have your seniors get the most at-bats and your varsity guys to get rewarded with the most at-bats, but you also have, your freshman, sophomore, JV guys that have sold tickets and have family and friends there, and you want them to have that experience too. So you try to figure out a way where everybody can at least get on the field, whether it's in the lineup, in the batter's box, out in the field, on the bases, something like that. But, and they keep a strict clock. Once 2.5 hours is over, you're done.
That's it.
You don't finish the inning, So,
oh, really?
You don't finish the inning. It's not. They'll finish the at bat, but not the next batter. You're out of luck. So, but it's tough because as a coach, you want to make sure all your kids get on the field. But at the same time, you want to honor the kids that have been your program for 3 or 4 years, and it just gets a little tricky. It's not the easiest game to coach in. A little nerve wracking.
I'm sure it is. It always sucks to be the guy that gets left on deck, stranded on deck to end the game. Doubly so if it's at Busch Stadium, for goodness sakes.
That's a metaphor.
Well, the funny story that probably nobody else realizes is I have a freshman and a sophomore this year, and in back-to-back years, they've been the ones left on deck.
So that's
how it happens, and you give the Cardinal guy a piece of your mind a little bit on the way out. I'll tell you that.
I'm sure you do. Absolutely. Joe Allstadt, we always love talking to you, man. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and enjoy the upcoming week. I mean, this really, it's busy, but this is what it's all about.
Oh, that's good busy, though. You love this, and you love having the kids out playing and great weather, and it's a good time to be busy for sure.
No doubt about it. That is Joe Allstadt, the Greenville Athletic Director, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And, Sean, you talk about just the experience of a lifetime. There it is. And, whether you're 25, 35, 45, 65, all those years later, I played at Busch Stadium. Not many people can say that.
No, and, having played slow-pitch softball and drilling a ball down the right field, that was a heck of a feeling. But it's not the same as an actual, full-fledged game. But you really appreciate, I have to think again, those guys are in uniform playing a real game. It's just kind of awe-inspiring. You kind of get a feel for what a pro athlete goes through as far as, it's like that movie view or like that video game POV, as they would say, view when you're looking at the seats. And then you imagine, what is it like when looking up and there are people in all of those seats and you can see the faces and, you can imagine the pressure, the energy and everything else. And what a great promotional vehicle, I think, for the entire, Greenville athletic program. And when you're looking at connecting all comets, racking up pledges of $1.26 million for turf, man, that speaks volumes.
Yep.
I just think, it gets to be so much bigger than just the baseball program.
Yeah, they do an amazing job over there, Joe Allstadt and all the people associated with Greenville High School.
Wouldn't that be an exciting mascot, by the way? Here come your Greenville Comets.
That's right. The streaking Comets.
Yeah, with the what is it? Would it be a caption? A cartoon balloon would be the mascot.
Hard telling. Get the design on the work there, Sean. That's up to you. You must undertake this project.
Gosh.
Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back,
of all time.
We're going to catch up with Litchfield boys track and field coach Dan Newkirk when Sports Saturday continues.
It's a quarter till 10 right here at FM 106 Sports Saturday. Continuing here in just a few moments. Thank you to these sponsors. They include Huffington's Funeral Home in Raymond Hillsboro in Farmersville, Mark Stern, your State Farm agent in Litchfield, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, and Prairie Town Feed Service. They're serious about their service. Once again, with your WSMI Sports Saturday program, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Welcome back here to WSMI Sports Saturday. Going to try to catch up with Dan Newkirk here in just a moment, the Litchfield boys track and field coach. Of course, they had the South Central Conference meet earlier this week. The Carletonville boys took home the crown, and the Litchfield girls took home the crown. And, Sean, it's been, you know, we talk about the weather for the spring season because it has just been one of those years. But, man, for track and field, the cold, windy conditions, it, I would imagine, has been kind of a tough season to really get, you know, those personal bests consistently to get into that groove because it was just so cold and so windy the entire way.
Hey, let's face it. You know, baseball, a lot of guys, softball, a lot of girls have been playing since they were maybe as young as five. You don't go after hurdles at six. You don't go after the pole vault at seven. So this is a sport where really you incrementally improve week to week. So that kind of layoff, it's a whole different animal, I think, than the other sports. You kind of have a feel for the other sports. You really don't – I don't think a kid will – you know, of course, the Olympics every 4 years. You're not watching track and field on television, and you're not – you know, competitive in that stuff. I mean, we're seeing more kids run 5Ks and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think a layoff has a whole different impact.
Having trouble catching up with Dan Newkirk. We thought we had him on the line, and then the call dropped out, Sean. A dropped call. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
You know what? I think there's a support group for that. And I headed up. We meet every third Wednesday of the month at the Litchfield Community Center, and then we rotate with the Event Center of Montgomery County for equal time. But, you know, so far I'm usually the only one talking. Yeah, it is a hat. And now, my word, I mean, how many hats can one man wear?
Well, you know, speaking of wearing a lot of hats, you know, that would be Dan Newkirk. And, you know, there's certain like, people who are in coaching who are football coaches, or basketball coaches, or a baseball guy, or a softball guy. Dan Newkirk, he's just a coach. Like, this dude, he could coach any sport. You know, he's the golf coach. He's been the wrestling coach. He's the track coach. I'm pretty sure if Litchfield had a Tiddlywinks team, he could coach that at an extremely high level. Because this dude, because you know about coaching, it's not so much the sport you're playing, it's just relating to people, the ability to communicate with people. And Dan Newkirk, he has that in spades. And Dan, are you with us? Maybe. Uh-oh. Having some sort of problem. Dan was supposed to be there, but Dan's not there. This is a very unfortunate turn of events here, Sean.
You know, it's something. I mean, he...
I know what it was. The telos wasn't cleared out. I bet Dan's there now.
Green over there.
There he is. Hey, good morning, hey, Mr. Tim. Newkirk. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you, Tim?
Hey, doing fantastic. And we were just talking about you specifically. You're just a coach. It doesn't matter the sport that you're coaching because you've coached them all. It's relating to kids and people. And, Dan, you do that as good as anybody.
Well, it's been a fun run, and I guess it just comes down to enjoying working with kids and, you know, most of all, just seeing them do their best. And that's always a – I get so many paychecks a year just watching kids light up with that. I'm addicted to that look on their face when they do something they don't think they're capable of, or they exceed a goal that they've set for themselves. And And there's just so much, you know, reward in that that I can never get enough of it.
Well, Coach, my neighbor over in Ward, I mean, not to jump the gun on you, but my neighbor in Ward 2 hasn't cut the grass. Could you take care of that? No, seriously. I look at this now. Yeah. Now you're throwing Ward 2 aldermanic seat. I have to think that with all these different coaching positions, time management has to be everything. When did that become something you really mastered, or is that still a work in progress? I look at track and field, you're coaching so many sports within a sport.
Right, right. Well, and I have my track background was with decathlon in college, so I was constantly, you know, in training for this without really realizing what I was doing as the week went on. And the coaches helped a lot, but I was moving from event to event and training group to training group, trying to manage my week along with nutrition and then of course schoolwork, and so it was a complicated thing, and without knowing it, it really set me up to do a lot of things I'm still doing today, you know, 30 years later.
Then we were talking about before we caught up with you here about just in terms of the weather for track specifically this year, hard to get in a groove when it's cold and as windy as it's been. My goodness, the wind this year, brutal.
Yeah, it's been, I've never seen a spring like this as far as, you know, the bad three in spring is wind, cold, and rain. And we've not had a day that did not have one of those, if not all three. So it's definitely been a challenge, but honestly, the kids have been unbelievable. I mean, they don't complain about anything. They get out there and they practice. Now it's got to a point now where it's just what it is and we're used to it. But the kids have had such a great attitude about getting out in these elements, and it, you know, it makes it seem better, I guess, than it is because they're handling it so well. So that's always a plus.
Well, Coach, I know I said it moments ago with Tim. I guess the toughest thing is this is a sport, again, you haven't been playing since age 5. There isn't a grade school track league or feeder program, especially in some of the field events. I know personally, my senior year, big growth in discus. That I guess that has to be the tough thing because I'm sure you see some guys who are some real late bloomers or real bloomers whenever who just aren't the same athlete at the end of the season that they were at the start.
No, absolutely not. And track is such a unique thing. You know, we don't, like you said, there's not a lot of youth track opportunities, and running is running. And so those kids will, you know, that are good at it, show that early naturally. But the field events, you know, the discus especially, discus, pole vault are two events that come to mind that are, I call them three-year events, where you really got to give it 2-3 years to get through the basics and then allow yourself to get confident and then really start to take off. And so our programs, our training programs that we've set up are not, you know, they're not fast and they're not a speedy thing. We try to, you know, it's a long haul kind of process, and the kids that stick with it. We have a discus thrower right now, Owen Bauer, who's a great example of that. He has really just this year blossomed. He's gone over 130 feet in the discus a couple times, and as a freshman, struggled to throw at 100, but he stuck with it. Coach Ripley, our throws coach, has worked with him, and he was patient, and he trusted in what we were doing and trusted the program, and is now really starting to see some great, and he's ready, I think, to really take another big leap because he's just really figuring it out. But there's a certain amount of patience, and we're living a time where getting the kids to be patient about what they're doing is not easy, but those that do really are reaping a lot of success from it.
Then talk to me about Cameron Crow and Keenan Powell. These two young men, they have really had some nice years. Now, I don't think Cameron, he didn't run in the 400 in the conference meet, did he?
He did not. He is a part of the county CEO program, and that was the night of their big trade show. And so he was not able to. He did. The coordinator of the CEO program was flexible enough that he came over and high jumped and won the high jump, jumped 6 feet and won that, and then had to speed back to Litchfield with his parents and man his booth for his CEO program. So he did not get to run the 400 or the 200 or the 4x4. Well, I wasn't really sure what we're going to do with him beyond that. But But we had his little brother, and I say in quotes, on the team, Keenan Powell, who has just really grown and matured this year. And I credit a lot of that to Cameron Crowe, who has been a great mentor for him. They train together. They work out together. And Keenan is just kind of figured out, if I just watch Cameron Crowe, I'm going to move in a good direction. And it paid off for Keenan. He came in, he stepped up, won the 400 for us at the conference meet, and also had the winning triple jump. So had a great meet.
Yeah, Coach, I look at golf and track and field, and I have to think in a way that's uniquely gratifying as a coach, because you know how it is, football, you've got the army of assistants, you have a great team, and then all of a sudden you run into this team with bigger linemen, faster skills players, and it's like you're hopeless out there. And as great as the team is, as hard as you practice, basketball, perhaps the same thing. You got a 7-foot center out there, whatever the case may be. But even if you go off and take on a better golfer or faster runners, it's still a battle against yourself. And even if you don't get the victory, hey, you got your best time of the season. And that's a personal victory, regardless of who gets first, second, or third.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that you've always got that personal best that you can chase after, and success is really, you know, there's a state of mind that goes with success or failure. And what I preach or what I try to instill in the kids is that, you know, success or winning and losing is a concept that's irrelevant, that we don't control it. You know, all I can control is my own effort. I can control what I do. I can control, my control of the situation. And then winning and losing has a tendency to kind of iron itself out and work itself out. But if I do my job, if I work hard in practice, if I relax and let my best performances come through, you know, generally the results are what I want, you know. But again, winning and losing being a concept that, I learned early in my career that the more and more I chased wins, the less and less I won. But the more and more I focused on the individuals on my team, the more and more I got to know them, not just as athletes, but as young men or young women, and focused on the things that we could control, the more successful we were. So that was just kind of a path that I took from there. I learned a lot from my college track coach, Al Karius, as far as coaching the individual, not the sport. And it took some time and maturity for me to really understand that and see it. But once I did, I think our programs benefited from that.
Then I know you're not the girls' coach, but you bleed that Litchfield purple, so you were beaming when the girls brought home the conference title.
Oh, it was so exciting. They were so determined to win. They hadn't won one in 15 years, and we knew we had a good chance. And they were it was so much fun to watch the girls, and we won, I think, every running race that we were entered in, with exception to one. And in that race, we got second and third. So the girls just really dominated the field. It kind of came to a head. The last event was the 4x4, which we had about a 75-point lead in the meet, and our relay team was in second place. And it was just, they were determined to still win that race. It didn't matter that we'd already won the meet. That self-determination and that pride was still coming through that we work on, and we still, and our girls team really showcased the approach that we take to coaching and the approach that Litchfield Track and Field tries to set an example for, and they really really put that on display over at Staunton the other night. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to watch.
Dan, we'll get you out of here on this. What's the sectional outlook look like for Litchfield here?
Well, we're going to North Mac. We're going up to North Mac, and it's going to be where we are, and we have our best chances. There's some challenges there, and obviously we're looking at Cameron Crowe and Cameron Corton, our two who were state qualifiers last year. Cam Crowe was all-state in the 400 and the high jump both. He's ranked very high in both events going into the week, and looks very good. But Keenan Powell in the triple jump is looking really good. We've got a relay that's looking good. So we're optimistic. We're North Mac, as we know from going to football games there and calling games for the radio, is just an absolutely gorgeous facility. So a lot of our kids have never seen it. They've never been there before. We don't have a track meet there during the season. And so we've kind of got them pumped up as far as just getting to go see the facility. So we're excited for sure.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and good luck at the sectional.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tim. Appreciate your time, guys.
All right, that is Dan Newkirk, the boys' Litchfield track and field coach.